Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, today we're starting a new series entitled Living for Eternity. And the first intro is called Introducing the Eternal Kingdom. Now, this series, Living for Eternity, it's actually, I don't mean you're going to live for eternity. That's true. I mean, right now we should be living for that age. We should be living for eternity. And so, yes, it's true that you will live for eternity, but I want us to live for eternity. And as we go through this series, I am just filled with excitement. I'm just burning inside over this subject matter, because as just a little personal testimony, this subject has had as much impact in my forming and my decision-making as the greatest commandment has. This subject, I can't think of anything else that would come close, but this subject has had as much impact, or real close to as much impact, in forming the way that I live, in forming how I, you know, spend my time and my attention as the subject of the greatest commandment. So we just got done with the greatest commandment. I was like, wow, it was hopefully an impacting series for many of you. I am hopeful that this series will be as impacting or more because of the subject and the way that the Word of God speaks about eternity and the provoking language and nature that the Word gives us related to the subject of eternity. And so, really, the only way to make sense of this current life, the few years that we have on earth in this present age, you know, however many years that is, if you die young or you die old or anywhere in between, really the only way to make sense of it is in light of eternity. And as long as we're only thinking about this life in terms of this life, we're only thinking about the 80 years that we have and the decisions that we make in relationship to 80 years, we are completely missing the entire point of life. Because you are going to live forever. I mean, it's like the difference between running a race that's, you know, 50 yards long versus running a race where you're going to run around the planet 900 times. You run different. You think different. You plan different. You process different. You train different. As long as we are living our lives as though this current age and our 80 years or 90 or 10, however many years we get, if we are living as though that's it, we are completely missing the purpose, because you are going to live forever somewhere. Everyone will. Every human being was created in the image of God, and every human being is an eternal soul. Every human being will live forever somewhere. It makes sense, since forever is a lot longer than 90 years, it makes sense to live for the long term, than way more than it does to live for the short term. You know, we've got all sorts of examples in life, and my dad has this great phrase that I grew up hearing all the time, anytime somebody did something stupid. My dad would say this. He'd just look at him, and he'd say, "Everybody has value, even if only to serve as a bad example." He said to me all the time. All the time. I was like, I got it, Dad. I got it. But we've got plenty of bad examples that we've seen where people were making decisions with only the very short-term timeline in their thought process. They were looking for the instant gratification. They were looking for the immediate results. They wanted the solution, the answer, whatever, the resolution. They wanted it now, and they were thinking only of now. They weren't even thinking about a week or a year or 10 years in relationship to their decisions. You know, we got a whole prison system filled with people that were not thinking about the long term. They were only thinking about that moment. Well, in a very similar thought process, we don't want to wind up making the same foolish mistake. We want to have a revelation, because the Bible gives us ample. I mean, there is so much on this subject. We want to have a revelation of eternity and our place there, our position there, our real life there. This is the way to make sense of life, is to look at this life and our decisions with the next life in mind and with eyes of faith, according to what the Word of God says. We don't need to make up stuff. There is plenty of Bible on this. We look at what the Word of God says, and then with eyes of faith, we think about and live for the next age, not only this present one. Now, with that, just giving some simple, you know, introductory thought processes, John 6, 51 and then 58, Jesus talking about the bread of life, he just gives a very matter-of-fact statement, but I think we've heard this statement so many times, we have lost the value of what's being communicated. I think we've heard the idea live forever so many times, go to heaven, you know, eternal life. I think we've heard these terms so many times, they don't mean anything to us anymore. So let's just look at this a little bit. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Jesus didn't say, you won't die and go to hell anymore. He said, if you eat this bread, you will live forever. It's an audacious statement. That is a, I mean, what the heck happens forever? What sort of decision can you make that has an impact that lasts for billions times trillions of years? This is absurdity. Jesus is dropping a bomb on them. He's saying, listen, if you'll eat this bread, and he's talking about following him, obeying him. He's using the context of even, you know, communion and eating the bread and drinking the blood, but it's way more than just doing the sacrament. It's embracing Jesus, giving ourselves to Jesus. So in essence, he's saying, if you'll give yourself to me, you will live forever. Forever. That is so much longer than 90 years. I mean, that's a really massive trade-up. The living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. This whole passage, Jesus just keeps talking about life, real life, living, being alive, true life. He said, so the one that feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. We need to start processing our lives in light of the fact that we're going to live forever. I can't stress it enough. And in our little introductory session here, it's fine for me to say it 60 times. It is foolish to live like you're going to live for 90 years. That's what a fool does. You're going to live forever. We'd better start living that way. We'd better start thinking with that in mind, because your life is going to look very, very different if you're living like you've got 2 weeks left versus if you're living like you've got 2 billion years left. And just let me just say it this way, 90 years or 70 or 60, I don't know how long you're going to live. I don't know how, Jesus might come back before you make it to 90. I don't know how many years you have, but however many, let's say you've got 100, that's 2 minutes. That's a week. I mean, that is this long by comparison to eternity. And Jesus was telling us, by your admission that I am the Son of God and my entrance into your heart through faith, you now no longer live for 90 years. You now live forever. And that's different. That's different. And if we don't prep for that, if we don't live with that in mind, we've completely missed the point. And just imagine Jesus looking at us when we stand before him and going, really? Really? You lived like you were going to die and that was it? You're serious? After all the stuff I told you, after all the, you live forever, living, you know, eternal life, after all those verses I put in there, you lived your life like you were going to live for however many more decades and then die and that was it. The heck were you thinking? Did you think I was a liar? I told you you were going to live forever. Live like it. Let's live for eternity. Well, I'm expectant that this series, if we'll allow the Bible verses to do the work, if we'll meditate on it, if we'll take them at face value, if we'll take phrases like live forever and think about it, I am confident this series will change your life. Again, I can't think of anything besides the greatest commandment that has had more impact on my life than this subject. I mean, this is a massive, this is a game changer. This shifts the way you process every Tuesday of your life. This shifts how you spend your time and your thoughts, your money. It shifts your perspective. It shifts what you're after because you're no longer thinking, I've only got so many more years left and then I'm dead. You're thinking, I've only got so many more years left before eternity starts. I better get with it. I had better engage. Let's put this thing into full throttle overdrive. I've only got a limited amount of time here before I graduate into the next age. Like, it's a very different way to live. Well, I've got multiple purposes in this session. This session is entitled Introducing an Eternal Kingdom. And so we're going to look a little bit at the eternal kingdom, just kind of a starting point, because none of this makes any sense if when we die in the physical sense, and if we go to the next age, if the next age isn't tactile, if the next age is ethereal, if the next age is just clouds and floating, and your spirit just kind of is happy, but it just floats around out there in outer space somewhere. What a horrible existence forever. That is not good or glorious. We were created for tactile, real things. We like to touch stuff and eat stuff and talk and do stuff. God created that in us. We would be eternally condemned to boredom and floating if there was not a tactile, real kingdom that we're going to inherit that's actually part of our future. So we'll look at that in a little bit. But a big piece of this series, and we'll do some sessions that are directly about it, but we're also going to do a bunch of sessions that that mention it, but that are not directly focused on this concept, that there is such a thing as eternal rewards. Eternal rewards. Now, this idea, this is one that you want to make sure you understand. Your salvation is free and can't be worked for. But once you're saved, everything you do or don't do can be counted towards your credit. That's what a reward is. Jesus is the one that taught primarily, he's the one that taught the loudest and the most on the subject of eternal rewards. And I just want to make sure that we understand these two words, eternal, forever, rewards, worked for stuff. You don't get a reward for existing. You get a reward for working diligently. I love my kids. There's stuff I give them just because I'm happy to give them stuff. That's not a reward. When they get a reward, it's because they didn't do something that I really didn't want them to do. Or they did do something I really did want them to do, and I talked to them about it on the front end probably, and was like, hey, listen, actually, you know, listen, well, we're, you know, in this environment, if you guys could just be chill, there's candy on the other end of this thing. Candy, people, candy. And their eyes get big, and all of a sudden, they are highly motivated to do whatever I want them to do, because they want candy. If their behavior is good, they get candy. If their behavior is bad, they don't get candy. That's what a reward is. I want you to understand this. Your salvation, you going to heaven, cannot be worked for. But once you're there, rewards are absolutely worked for. And this is one of the key points of the kingdom that's got people kind of confused. It's like, well, do you have to work for your salvation or is it free? Your salvation is free and then you work. And you don't work for your salvation, you work for extra stuff. And your father loves to give rewards to his children. I'm going to just give you one verse here. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. Jesus laced the gospels with phrases like this. And when you go and you look at the context, it was always tied to particular activity. It was always tied to specific things that we would either do or not do, embrace or restrain ourselves from. All of these verses where Jesus talks about rewards in the next age, rewards in heaven, rewards from the Father, the rewards were always tied to doing stuff or not doing stuff that the Lord said, hey, this is stuff I want you to do, or this stuff, don't do that. I know everybody's doing that, don't do that, and if you don't do that, I'll give you a reward. It's very important that we understand this, because without this subject, it's very difficult for us as fallen individuals to continually make right choices. I wish I was smart enough and strong enough of a believer to make right choices just because they're right. But do you know who taught on eternal rewards more than any other person in the Bible? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knows we're dummies. Because he knows we're children that need candy dangled in front of us in order to behave at the old folks' home. He knows. He knows us so well. He's the one that taught on the subject of eternal rewards more than anybody else in the Bible. He taught it over and over and over because he understood we would need that motivation. And also he understood the reality of it. And he was actually doing us a solid by helping us understand how eternity works. He's like, I've been there. I know how this works. I'm going to give you guys the keys to the kingdom here. I'm going to help you understand how this works. If you want a giant pyramid-sized stack of candy, let me tell you how to live your life now. And when you get there, you'll be shocked at the rewards that you will be awarded. They're not given. They're rewarded. It's a big subject. And when you get this ingrained, it changes how you spend your day. Because you're thinking, this thing I'm doing matters. God sees me. This thing actually matters to God right now. It's way beyond my moment, way beyond my weakness, way beyond my circumstance. God actually sees this, and he promises to reward me. So that's going to be a major subject in this series, the subject of our actions, thoughts, inactivity, all those things now in this age, how it relates to the age to come. This is going to help give us some eternal perspective. This is life-changing. When you start to think about your life in terms of living forever instead of living for only right now, and some small number of right nows added together equaling 80 years or 100, whatever you get. When we graduate out of thinking about right now, and we start to think about the ages to come, we start thinking about eternity. This greatly impacts our spirit man to be able to engage in the real story, in the true story. Those who are asleep, who do not yet know Christ, that are walking about, they're asleep. They don't understand reality. They're going to live forever. It just so happens they're going to live forever in hell, but they are going to live forever. They're asleep. They don't understand real life. Those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, we now have access to the real story. The Matrix is real, people. You're taking the pill, and you are coming into your senses to realize this is an hour that we have got, a minute, however long you've got in this life, you've got a minute to be able to engage in the real story, living for eternity instead of living for the temporal. Another piece of this series, and really part of this session that I'm trying to get us, is to recognize that what we do now matters. Really, if we have to wrap up this entire series into a sentence, it could be barreled down to the following. What we do now in this life, our choices, investments, the way that we carry ourselves, and how we spend our time and money matters for eternity, and we're in control of it. You are very much in control of your future. Now, you may not be able to be in control of your next 10 years or your next 20 years. I wish it was as simple as we just wanted our life to be so, you know, set, and we set ourselves in this life and we're in control. It doesn't really work that way in this life, but you absolutely have control of your life forever. That's a really important point. Because your circumstances might be horrible for a minute, for 1 minute. But in a billion years, you're going to look back on 80 and you're going to go, that was a blip. Like that was 1 minute of time. My circumstances were horrible for 1 minute. I could not control my circumstances for 1 minute, but I'm so glad I chose to live that 1 minute for eternity so that I could absolutely control billions of years. See, you're in control. This is really a profound thought process, because what you do, what you say, how you carry your heart, what you do, what you don't do matters. We've got our flesh, and our flesh says, me, mine, myself, I. It's so selfish. Our flesh is so selfish. If we'll overcome our flesh, there are rewards every single time. The Lord actually wants to give you the most tremendous future imaginable. It just probably won't be in this age. I pray you'll all see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But whatever you see, I'm saying if you were a billionaire, everything was perfect, you never had a bad day, your heart was burning with the greatest commandment, that is still a horrible existence by comparison to what's coming. It's horrible by comparison to what's coming. It's not even worth mentioning to what's coming. So whether your life is horrible or your life is great in this present age, it really matters about this much. We're so stuck on now. We're so thinking about me, my needs, myself, my world, my life. And the Lord's like, if you'll get your eyes off yourself and you'll start thinking about eternity and you'll invest like you're actually going to live forever instead of only investing like you're going to live for a few decades more, you will live massively different and you will be rewarded forever. However, if you don't, there will actually be loss. Things forever that you will not have because you lived for yourself in this age. You starting to see why I said a minute ago, there's only one teaching besides the greatest commandment that's had so much impact in my life? Because this one cuts deep. This one is like, oh my gosh, my attitude matters to God. Not just he's happy or sad about my attitude, he's actually sitting on the edge of his seat, excited to reward me. But rewards come from the right attitude and not from a bad one. And he longs to, but he won't force it. Sometimes I just wish he'd force me. I just feel like if I was a robot, we could really get something done, you know? It gives us free will. That free will is the opportunity to praise him. It's the opportunity to walk with him, to love him. It's the opportunity for eternal rewards. We've got to grasp that we will all of us, you will have to give an account of your life. Put up that verse in Romans 14, 10 through 12. The word of God is filled with verses like this. This is one of many, and we'll look at several of them in this series. We will all stand, 100% of humanity, everybody. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. This is Paul writing to the church. Paul's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church of Rome. He says, hey, every God-loving believer in Rome and everybody else, every human being will have to stand before God's judgment seat. And some people think of that and they go, oh, the judgment seat. Did I say yes to Jesus and follow him? Did I pray the prayer? Did I, you know, give my life to Jesus? Or did I not? That has nothing to do with what's happening here. That is not the assessment, because look at the next line. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Give an account. Not one prayer, one decision. We're going to have to give an account of our life's decisions. We're going to have to give an account of what we did and what we didn't do. Now, some of you go, this is terrifying. I think you might be understanding correctly. Some of you might be going, I'm going to erase that Bible verse from my Bible. You need to give yourself over to Jesus right now. Don't fight it. Don't kick against the goads. The verses are in the Bible. You might not like them. You might go, oh, that's kind of like Jesus is like, you know, he's like angry dad mode. Listen, I am telling you right now, these verses are for your good. They're for your good so that you don't wind up wasting your life. And let me just tell you this. If you hear this series and don't heed the message, there's a real good chance you'll waste your life. This is a really important subject. This one matters deep. To pay attention that we're going to stand before him and we're going to give an account of our lives, what we did and didn't do, how we spent our time and didn't, attitudes of our heart, decisions that we made, investments with our time, our money, our relationships, responses that we had. grudges that we held on to, things that we didn't do that God told us to do, stuff that we did do that God told us to, things that we went out of our way to be a blessing, ways that we heard what the Word of God said, and we strategized and we were creative in ways to express it in order to build the kingdom. Everything will be judged and assessed. And it won't be a heaven or hell thing. That's already decided. Heaven. Done. Heaven. You love Jesus? You have a relationship with him? Heaven. Stamped. Boom. But life will look very, very different for the inhabitants of heaven. Not everyone's life will look the same at all. Because there will be massive differences in who is rewarded this way, this way, this way, or this way. Because rewards are not free. They're worked for. These are Bible verses, friends. We're going to look at a ton of them in this series. I just want you to be honest with the Word of God. And if the Word says it and you don't like it, I want to invite you to change your mind and believe the Bible. Now, if it doesn't say it, if I'm teaching something and you're like, that is not what that verse says, and you can, you know, you don't have to tell me, but if you can tell God, that's not what that verse says this, and it means something completely different, go with that. But do it by the Bible, not by your emotions. Do it by the Bible, not your circumstances. Do it by the Bible and not what you've been taught in the past. Let's go with the Word of God. I want to help in this series. I want to help us stand before that judgment seat. That's part of my motivation. I'm like, God, I want to help as a shepherd. I want to help us get ready to stand before that judgment seat. You just said we're all going to have to do it. I kind of feel a little bit of fear and trembling, like the Lord's going to look at me and go, did you ever tell them? Well, I just hope that they read their Bible. Don't you know how that goes? Oh, well, I thought they might. I know you're reading your Bible, but man, we got to read our Bible. We got to get it in us. I want to help prepare you to stand before the judgment seat because you're going to. And if you can spend the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 decades of your life, if we have that much time, living in preparation for the judgment seat, you will do a lot better on that day than if it is an aloof thought. If it's not in there at all, it's not on your mind. It's just, I'm just going to kind of live however I want to live. You know, I'll go to church. This thing is not about going to church. This is about living for Jesus and living for eternity. It's actually about trying to get as rich as possible for billions of years. It's actually about trying to accumulate as much reward from the Father as a human being could possibly be given, be granted because of the activity that we spend ourselves on the earth. This is important that we learn how to overcome our flesh. Really, this series, in so many ways, it's about overcoming our flesh. Because your flesh is what gets in the way. If it was just your spirit while you're in a good mood, we'd always do the right thing. But dude, our flesh is like gnarly and loud and angry and like constantly punching, kicking and screaming. Our flesh. We have got to learn how to overcome it. And I think one of the greatest tools to overcome our flesh is the teaching that there is an eternal kingdom of which we will live forever. Thinking about that in this age so that we're not living like this is the only life we've got to live. Let's talk a little bit about this kingdom. One of the things that's so frustrating is it's invisible. Really hard to have a conversation with your imaginary friend. Because he just never talks back. It's very difficult to live for an invisible kingdom, and yet that's exactly what we're doing. There's signs of it. There's little pieces. There's whispers. But it's not physical and tactile that we can see right now. See, that's the eyes of faith. But you don't see Jesus either, and we believe he's real. You've just got to take that and keep that thought process going. If he's real, then what he said is real. If what he said is real, he said heaven is real. So heaven's real. If heaven's real, then the stuff that he said about heaven must be real. You see, we got to take the thought and just keep going with it. That's how this works. We jumped into a deep rabbit hole, friends, when we gave our lives to Jesus. We signed up to believe crazy stuff. When you gave your life to Jesus, you gave your life to faith. And faith is scary because faith is what you do not see with your eyes. We are living for a kingdom we can't see. We're serving a man we can't shake hands with. We're believing in a purpose and eternity of an entire government and kingdom that we can't, with any sort of tactile frame of reference, be able to interact with. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need a series, and the series isn't the important part. The Bible verses in the series are the important part. We need the Bible verses that talk about the kingdom to be washing over our minds and training us in truth, that are reminding us of what is real, helping us to understand and to set ourselves on what is actual and true in the Word of God, and not how our feelings go, not how our culture tells us, not what we were taught at whatever church we grew up in. I hope you got taught good stuff. I'm sure you got taught some good stuff and probably some stuff that wasn't as awesome. But that's not the point. The point is the Word of God testifies about an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew 4:17. And then Luke 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." There is a real kingdom which we have been annexed into when we gave our lives to Jesus. We have become part of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus talked about it like it was a reality. It wasn't fictitious. It wasn't, you know, some, you know, ethereal idea. He said, the kingdom of heaven is near. Therefore, there's action that needs to be taken. In this particular case, he says, repent because it's near. But there's a whole lot of action to be taken because the kingdom of heaven is real. It's not fake. It's not Jesus's made up idea. It's actual. Here's the thing. In a billion years, we may or may not remember the most impressive kingdoms of man that have ever been constructed in human history. I mean, we'll remember them, but they won't be fresh to us. They won't be like meaningful. They won't be in operation in the way that they are now or the way that they are in our history books right now. We will barely even reference or care about the most impressive human kingdoms ever built. But forever, we will be part of the most glorious kingdom forever, and it will be very real. Luke 17, once being asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. So just, it's Jesus is like, it's real, but it's also invisible. And we got to sign up for this. Because it's really easy if I hold up in front of you something tactile, a pumpkin pie. And I'm like, okay, listen, who wants this pumpkin pie? And anybody with any sense that can eat pumpkin pie wants a pumpkin pie because they're delicious. And we get our eyes set on it. It's very difficult, however, to start to think about. It takes more effort. It takes something happening deeper in our soul for us to get a vision for an invisible pumpkin pie. And Jesus says, this pie is realer than all pies together. It's the pie to rule them all. This is the eternal kingdom, he says, but it's not something that you observe with your eyes. It's in your midst. This is important. The kingdom of God is eternal. Let's put up those verses about eternal kingdom of God. I'm going to go through them pretty quick. Daniel 4:3. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. Daniel 4:34, his dominion is an eternal dominion. Daniel 6:26, his kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. Daniel 7:18, possess it forever. Yes, possess it forever and ever. Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all of his promises and faithful in all that he does. The Lord has an eternal kingdom that will endure forever. It's more real than any kingdom we've seen in this age. It's more real, but it's also invisible. This is why it takes the reach of faith. It takes effort because we can't just see it readily with our eyes. It does take the reach of the heart. He'll rule forever and ever. Psalm 9:7, the Lord reigns forever. The Lord is going to be in charge of this kingdom. There's really an eternal kingdom. There's really a guy in charge. He's really the one that writes the rules, and he is going to be in charge forever. I really like when there's a government that never changes leadership so long as the governor is Jesus. It's really problematic when it's a human because we always, you know, mess it up. But when it's a man who's fully God and fully man and he's fully good, he's trustworthy. He's in charge. He's the one that wrote the rules and he's in charge forever. There is a kingdom of which we have entered into that will go on forever. Micah 4:7, the Lord will rule over them from Mount Zion from that day and forever. The Lord will rule and reign over an eternal kingdom, the one that you have bought into. I just want us seeing this, the eternal nature of the kingdom of heaven. His throne is eternal. Lamentations 5:19, you, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. And you could keep adding to generations, to generation, to generation, to forever. Your throne endures forever. Psalm 102, verse 12, you, Lord, you sit enthroned forever. See, the Bible is filled with language about the forever nature of our life. The forever nature of the kingdom of God, which while it's veiled right now and invisible, it's more real than this current life. And it will last much longer. His kingdom will continue to increase. We'll spend some time on this in a future session because it's one of my favorite Bible verses in the whole Bible. Isaiah 9:7. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government. Remember, his government goes on forever and ever. His dominion's forever and ever. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Meaning, Jesus' government will start off big and awesome and will get bigger and awesomer as time goes on. And then bigger and awesomer and more bigger and even better awesomer. As time goes on, bigger and more awesome, bigger. Of the increase, there'll be no end. It will continue to increase. See, we're not a part of something that has a stop date. We have a forever future. We are part of a kingdom that is moving forward. And even now in this age, the things that we do are part of that one kingdom. The actions that we take, the things that we do, the purposes to which we involve ourselves to advance the kingdom of God in this hour, it's the same kingdom of God that goes on forever. It's got cohesion. Your activities now matter. They're connected to this eternal kingdom. At the end of it, when we stand before the Lord, look at this, 2 Peter 1:11. What a profound idea. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A rich welcome, like applause, clapping, smiling, the great cloud of witnesses seeing you. You'll receive a rich welcome. They're going to like see you coming and be happy about it. That sounds to me like very real. That sounds tactile to me. Let me give you some foundational principles about eternity that we're going to need for this series that we're doing. First, let's break down eternity that it wouldn't be one long eternity. That's hard for us to grasp. Kind of all of this is. Let's not talk about eternity as one long period of time. Let's talk about it the way the Bible talks about it. There are ages with an S. There are ages to come. Eternity is broken down into ages. The millennial reign of Jesus, that's the first age after this one. It lasts 1,000 years. But that's just the first age. Then there's ages. Look what it says. Ephesians 2:6-7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Just give you the one little phrase in there. In the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. In the coming ages, you'll see God even more. In the coming ages, he'll show himself rich even more. As the ages unfold, it will get better and better and better. this is the kind of investment that you really, I mean, this is like getting in on Bitcoin day one and spending $1 billion on the first day. It's like, this is the best idea ever. Let's just get in early on this thing, because the longer it goes on, it says he'll continue to unfold the riches of his grace in the ages to come. Check that, ages. You know what the fun thing about an age is? Each age is unique and distinct from the one before it and the one after it. There are things that happen in that age that are different. It's like there are aspects of life that look very different. For instance, in the next age, when Jesus comes, we've never had Jesus here ruling the planet before. That will be a very new experience. That will be a profound new thing. Jesus on the planet in physical form, you can poke him if you can get close enough. And he'll like say stuff and do stuff, and he'll be the king of all the kings of the planet. That is a very, very, very different reality from what we're used to in this present age. But do you know the age after that? God's scratching his chin. He goes, in the ages to come, I will show you an increase of the riches of my grace. You thought Jesus ruling the planet was cool. Let me show you what's next. And then after that, what's next? There's ages. When we start to think about eternity, let's not think about long, boring, no change. Let's think about ages that are unique and distinct and beautiful and well thought through and cohesive to the one before it and the one after it and the 92 that follow. Ages to come. Real life continues on for a very long time. When we talk about eternity, it's essential you are understanding, you're thinking about eternity in terms of walking, eating food, high-fiving friends, having conversations, meeting new people. Hey, new person, who are you? I'm one of your forefathers. Well, cool. Talk to me. What was it like back then? You need to be processing eternity in terms of real life, not floating cloud land. Real life continues forever. It's real. That's a massive point as we're talking about foundational principles of eternity. Real life continues on. Jesus's coming jumpstarts eternity. We're already in it, but we have very little sense of it right now. When Jesus comes back, it's a little inaccurate to say it this way, but I think it helps get the point across. When Jesus gets back, eternity starts. When Jesus comes back to the planet, we really get this party started. When Jesus comes, that's when things actually get started. That's when the beginning of the beginning happens, because that's the first time the King of Kings has actually been granted the ability, permission to real time be the King of Kings. It's when we actually get this party started. Why do I say it that way? We really, really want Jesus to come back, because that's when the next age starts. That's when things really get going. Paul said it this way in Titus 2. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. That's control of the flesh. That's overcoming the flesh. The grace of God, it doesn't teach us to just do whatever we want, to be willy-nilly, to live however we want. The grace of God teaches us to say no to living ungodly lives and to living out worldly passions. Instead, it teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Why? While we're waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus Christ. We are waiting. We're living for eternity. In this present age, we're asking for the grace of God to touch our lives, to help us live godly, self-controlled, to live a life for the kingdom that's coming while we're waiting for Jesus. And Jesus in this passage is referred to as our blessed hope. The blessed hope of every Christian. The return of Jesus Christ to the planet. This is really intense. This is how we're supposed to be living. This is the pattern that God has set for us, that we would be focused on his coming, That we would be focused on when he comes, what does he bring with him? What does he inaugurate? What does he usher in? That's when eternity really starts, when he comes back. And so we live in this present life with the thought process of the next life in mind. We live in this present age with self-control. We say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to our flesh, to laziness, to withdrawal, to whatever it is that we got. We say no to those things. We go, oh God, give me grace that I could live like eternity is actually real, instead of like I'm only going to live for some small number of weeks. Therefore, I better get everything I can right now and hoard. Hoard it all, my time, my energy, my money, my affections. See, heaven is a very real place, and it's coming. Here's some points, some takeaways for today. This is just the beginning. We're going to unpack so much more in this series. There is so much more coming. And I want to just, again, engage you along these lines. This thought process of living for eternity. Living now for an eternal life. For what will be later. Living now for that eternal life is the power to transform your life now. And we want that. That's actually the grace of God that Paul was just talking to Titus about, that gives us power in this present age to live different. We want to commit to setting our gaze on eternity. My hope in this series is that, worship team, you can come on up. My hope in this series is that we would hear this and we'd be marked in such a way that we would long for that eternal reality, and that we would be posturing ourselves going, Lord, how do I live in this present age? What can I be doing with my decisions, with my thoughts? How can I posture myself for a greater eternal inheritance, a greater eternal reality than what I will get by default if I just kind of mill about through life and make it through?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.